Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm okay.
Good. You feeling all in?
I'm all in. Are you all in?
I'm all in. Chris, are you all in? He has a microphone and he just whispers
nope
into the thank you. We have a guest in the house today.
We
our,
do.
Our buddy Chris. He's here. He's going to chime in a couple times tonight. Otherwise, he's just here playing PUBG while we're shooting a podcast.
As one does.
That's true.
Pew.
Pew pew. It's a shoot. I don't think we can top that. So Tom, can you hit the X button for me? Or ring the bell or whatever our gimmick is. I don't know.
We'll steal their gimmick. I don't care. I'll hit the damn X button.
Thanks, Tom.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. As the voice said, I'm JC. Here next to me, across from me, whatever, because we're breaking kayfabe now that it's on video. Next to me at the commentary table of the stars, my good buddy, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
I can touch your knee if I wanted to. Look at that.
Oh my gosh, you touched. And then over there, kind of doing his thing, that's Chris.
Yeah.
He's there. Hey, we have energy this week. It's a nice change of pace.
We do. We don't hate wrestling completely right now.
It's a very nice change.
Which is helpful when you have a wrestling podcast.
We'll get to the one reason you should this week.
Okay.
You didn't see it.
Nope.
I did.
Refused to.
Good. That's a positive thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just dive right in.
Okay.
I gotta get another beer first.
Okay.
But that's important.
But luckily it's right next to you instead of you having to leave completely and me have to,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I thought through it this time and I brought it into the studio proper.
Okay.
So it makes more sense that way.
Yeah.
Rather than having to run and get it. Mid-podcast.
And then you have to disappear, and then I have to fill 2, 3, 4 minutes of time.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm not good at that. No. Especially when it's completely out of nowhere and near the end of the podcast.
You know who also is not great at filling time?
Who's that?
Vince McMahon writing a segment. Let's just do it. Let's just start with it.
Okay.
So, because I feel like it's the three guys in drag in the room. Instead of the elephant in the room, there's not three guys in drag in the room.
I wasn't sure if that was the end segment that you were promising before.
No.
Okay.
So we are, Sami Zayn promised to expose Bobby Lashley after his sit down interview. And so he said he was going to bring out, Lashley's three sisters this week. And he did. And it was three guys in drag. And it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
I don't have words. Someone on Reddit actually made a post of in May every year is the worst segment of WWE TV since for the last decade. Here's the list. And it didn't include Old Day. They just barely missed that. But it was Bailey, Alexa, this is your life from last year. Old Day was barely a miss.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
I said it, and I forgot to unplug the echo.
Is everything in this building voice controlled?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a real fancy studio these days.
We do.
That's why. It was just, I don't get... Where, how Vince McMahon thinks in the year 2018 any segment like this is ever a good idea from a comedic standpoint, from a television standpoint, for any reason whatsoever.
Well, I think what the problem is we don't know what the hell to do with Bobby Lashley at this point. He's good guy Brock Lesnar, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to write for Sammy. Because Sammy has a great personality. Sammy's very outgoing, but Sammy doesn't have a quote unquote character.
True.
He has a natural personality, has natural charisma to him, but he doesn't have a gimmick, so to speak, outside of, maybe he's a little bit annoying or whatever, which they tried to do at one time. but they don't have anything necessarily for him. So writers don't know how to write for him because they're just like, okay, he's a guy who's talking about another guy.
Yeah.
They've got nothing.
Well, and that it stems from the fact that they just made this a feud out of nowhere, too. Like, right. There's no build. There was no conflict there.
No.
It was just like, Lashley showed up. He got put into like two tag main events in a row. And oh my God, Sami Zayn now hates him. Cool.
Right. Well, he got vertigo.
From Bobby Lashley. Yeah. Yes. He got vertigo slash, oh yeah, he's a Syrian Arabic and couldn't go to Saudi Arabia.
Well, way to break kayfabe there, brother.
Well, at least be honest about it. How great of an angle is that? Sammy comes out and he's like, I couldn't go to Saudi Arabia because I'm a Syrian, you know, heritage, you know, Muslim. That's a terrible angle. Now that I've said it out loud.
No, because they
it's not going to end well.
He'd immediately be a heel.
Him and Muhammad Hassan just running around, brother.
Despite the fact that he's constantly raising money for Syrian refugees and all that.
Right.
They'd boo him out of the arena.
Now, you didn't see this segment.
Nope.
Chris did.
Uh-huh.
Chris is a non-wrestling fan. I shouldn't say non-wrestling fan. You just don't actively watch the product.
He's a non-wrestling fan now that you made him watch that segment.
Right. So, Chris, as someone who has... I gave you, like, very little of the backstory of what the hell this segment was. What are your thoughts on what that was?
You know... I mean, just sitting over here and watching it from your screen over there, those men were great actors, is all I
remember. Were they? Were they, Chris?
yeah, that was real bad. Real, real bad. That's the kind of thing that makes like casual fans. Like I'll watch pay-per-views and stuff with you guys all the time, any day, all day. But things like that are reasons why casual fans are like, why?
Yeah.
What was that? What did I just... That was like 5 minutes of just awkward.
Right. I mean, my thing with it is too, and this leads into the next topic of discussion. Thank you for your input, by the way. We appreciate you being here. Now they don't have to care about any fan, casual or non-casual.
Right.
So, because what you made is a very valid point. It's much what I wanted to say. But now that we're about to make $4 billion over 5 years for SmackDown alone from Fox, pay-per-views are meaningless because you're not making any money off those compared to your TV deal.
Right.
So, everything's building to TV now. And you've got this guaranteed money. You don't have to care about it's what you're putting on the product. You could still be canceled, yes, but at that investment, you're probably not going to be.
And you can put that both ways, too. I mean, in theory, that means that they could turn around and try different kind of outside-of-the-box angles instead of these tried and true, okay, this is what we have to do because we have to please fans. Now you're at a point where you can do... You can take some risk, but they're not going to do that. They're going to do the things that they want to do necessarily.
That's Vince. He's not going to rock the boat. You know, he's got his money now. He is now a billionaire. He is now the billionaire that should be a billionaire, and he is.
Right.
The stigma of, you know, millionaire that should be a billionaire can end, I think, finally. But it's just... I fear the worst for the future of like the quality of the product because of this.
Well, it's the same fear that we went into when Vince bought out WCW and ECW. He bought out his competition. Yeah. But at the same time, he does have competition though. It's not apparent. Like he doesn't have to fear it necessarily, but Vince is still competitive.
Yeah.
So if it's out there and you've got something like Ring of Honor or something like that, that's putting out regular shows that are making his shows look bad, he's going to get pissed off about it. He's still going to want to up the ante or at least buy whoever it is that's doing well
right.
in Ring of Honor or whatever. So he may spend the money and try to get the Bucks in. Whether or not the Bucks will want to come in is besides the point, but he may want to spend the money to try to get these people in so that he has the best product. But
even if you bring in all that talent, like with the way booking is and the way we're going to write stories around Bobby Lashley's sisters, like you can buy all the talent in the world, but if you're doing that kind of crap, like it's not, what's the point?
Well, again, that was the invasion angle and all that. It's you picked out all the, or at least most of the good people that you had from WCW. You brought them into the WWF and you went, okay, we've got the best of both worlds. We have the few guys from ECW that we want. We can do this giant angle where all the promotions come together and battle. We've got all the talent. And they completely screwed the pooch because they,
yeah,
I mean,
but I mean, you look at it and when you look at it, the invasion angle as along that same line, like I don't blame Nash and Hall and Hogan and everybody for being like, you know, I'm making all this guaranteed money from Turner.
Right.
Like why I'm going to sit at home and collect a paycheck.
Right.
I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, well,
the other issue with the invasion angle, too, was Vince's ego. Vince was in this battle with WCW that put him against the ropes. That was the only real threat to his monopoly that he had on American wrestling.
Right.
That he took over. He battled that threat, went against the ropes, ended up winning it, buying out his competition. But he wasn't done because that name was still out there. So what he had to do is he had to make sure that his product was better than the other fake product. So he made any WCW wrestler that came in have no momentum whatsoever because his WWF guys had to go over them.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you think about at the Invasion pay-per-view, right, that led to the Survivor Series tag where the future was decided, like the WCW guys went over.
They did to attempt to get over the product, which was always going to be, you always knew what the end game was going to be.
Oh, WWF was always going to win.
Yeah.
Art imitates reality. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about Fox spending $4 billion to get WWE. I mean, it's a great thing for the health and the longevity of the business. I don't know that it's a great thing for the health and longevity of the product, if that makes any sense.
I'm curious to see how it changes SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because when you had both shows on USA,
mm-hmm.
you kind of had that, you know, transition between one or the other. Somebody could float over, that type of thing. If you're putting one of those things on NBC Universal, whether it be USA or, God forbid, NBC or something like that, and then you put the other thing on Fox. These are things that are directly competing against each other. So you're not going to have as much cross promotion as you did before outside of like pay-per-views and that type of thing.
Right.
How much is Fox going to want to make SmackDown an exclusive? This is how we see the program. This is the people that we want to focus on. Less WWE, more SmackDown.
I think they'll have a certain amount of influence in that. You know, as much as, I mean, you look at their last UFC deal, for instance, which is a comparable, I won't say it's a comparable amount of money, it was a lot less money. But they controlled the production aspect of the TV pieces, contributed a lot to what UFC did production-wise for their pay-per-views and for Fight Pass, but the only thing they controlled was what was on their air. I don't think WWE is giving that up, right? Even with there being more money involved because of the way it is such a standardized product across both brands.
Right.
And the fact that they're working in a TVPG environment, that's a little bit different. Like they are going to want to have the control of that. And it's such a different business too, but
right, but what gets me curious is if you've got this company that's giving $4 billion to get this access to this television show, and you're telling them, well, with this television show, you only get access to half of the wrestlers that we have.
Right.
You don't get, oh, you know, you wanted Brock Lesnar. You can't have Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry, that didn't count. That's not one of the people. Mm-hmm. Well, why can't we have that person?
Yeah.
We paid $4 billion. Why can't we have this person? So your superstar shakeups and all that type of thing.
Actually, it starts to matter.
Yeah.
So another interesting thing here, and I've seen a lot of posts about it online, and then we'll move off this topic. People that are really excited, they're like, oh, this is going to be such a great place for like AJ and Shinsuke, and like it's going to be such an elevated platform for all that talent on SmackDown. Folks, this change does not go into effect until October of 2019. Roman is going to move to SmackDown. Brock is going to move to SmackDown. Ronda Rousey is going to move to SmackDown. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to have to be the A show. It's on for $4 billion over 5 years and a national network television spot. It's the A show now. So they're going to put all the focus on it.
Yeah. It'll be curious to see what happened. I still want to see what that Raw bid comes in to be. Because the rumor is the market's been set.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that NBCU is looking, you know, Fox paid 3x, you know, 3x the value of the last SmackDown contract. The rumor is NBCU is going to pay 3x the value of their current Raw contract to keep Raw.
So if that's the case, though, you're still going to leave that on USA?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they'd move it.
Do we see specials, though?
I think Saturday
night's main event type things?
No, I think they pay that much to keep it specifically on USA to prop up that network like it does now. USA is not the number one cable network in the country without the WWE properties.
Right.
They keep it. They keep Raw alone. It continues to be.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, if I was Vince McMahon and I just got a check for $4 billion, you know what I'd do?
Try to find a bank that would actually cash it?
I'm pretty sure any bank would cash a check for $4 billion.
Oh, you can't really cash it necessarily.
I mean, you could.
You need, like...
I just see Vince pulling a radio flyer wagon with, like, cash flying off the back while his theme music's playing and one arm's just like he's doing his freaking walk.
God damn it, I want quarters.
Yes, give me all the change. I would go straight to Amazon.com, Tom.
But can I offer a suggestion?
I'd buy a lot of stuff. You could.
Okay. So don't go to Amazon.com directly.
Why? That's where all the stuff I buy is,
okay,
Tom.
Okay. Hear me out on this.
Okay. I'm listening.
So instead of going to Amazon.com, like you normally would, go instead to CheatersNeverPin.com.
What's that?
That's our website.
We have one of those?
We have one of those. Ooh.
Today I learned.
Yeah. And when you go to CheatersNeverPin.com, you'll see two buttons there. One is a Patreon button, which is, you know, great. Feel free to contribute to that. But there's another button that says Amazon.com. It's just kind of has the same logo and everything like that. So you won't be confused. You'll know it's the Amazon.com button. So you click on that. And what that'll do is that will take you to Amazon.com. The actual Amazon.com, the place that you were going to in the first place. It'll take you there.
Ooh.
So then you go and you shop as you normally would. You pick out your stuff, whatever $4 billion buys you on Amazon.com.
Hold on. Keep talking. I'll figure that part out. I'm curious.
Okay. As JC does the math, you would go to Amazon.com. On your Amazon, through Amazon, you'd go, you'd load up that cart, you fill it completely full. Maybe you apply for the Amazon.com credit card, gets you $50 off or whatever. Anyway, you go, you make your payment, you find out that through Prime it's going to get there in 2 days. But when you make that payment on your own, a small percentage of that money that you pay to Amazon doesn't go to Amazon. It goes to Cheaters Never Pin.
Yeah.
So it doesn't change what you pay. It changes what Amazon gets. And who doesn't want to screw Amazon out of a few cents here and there?
Right?
You could buy a lot of Mananu solar outdoor Christmas string lights that are on sale right now.
Ooh, they're fairy flower blossom decorative.
They're lights for your indoor garden, patio, party, Christmas tree decorations, warm white.
They have 333 customer reviews.
4 stars. 18 people have asked questions. Okay. 18 people, Tom, have asked questions about lights that you plug in.
No, there are 18 answered questions. Like,
oh, Jesus.
So there may be more questions. Oh, that's that even have been worse. Asked.
All right. Let's. This is our. Do the flowers come off the lights in case they get broke?
Yes, you can detach them.
I just want to see if there's a really dumb question.
No.
Okay. They're not dumb. Anyway. This has been your Amazon.com sponsored part of the show. Go to cheatersneverpin.com. Click the Amazon button. Buy your shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we get pennies. We like pennies
on the dollar. All right. Let's talk about Money in the Bank coming up in 2 weeks.
Money, 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 money.
Money, 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 money. That stupid song.
Money.
Can they just rewrite it? Can we get a new version of that finally?
Is it just a fast-forwarded version of Ted DiBiase's theme song?
Probably.
Okay.
Let's see here. So, two things left to determine. One man.
Well, technically, there's three things left to determine.
Okay, well, they have to still pick between Big E, Kofi, and Xavier.
It could be
for New Day spot.
Any of them.
My thing, and I tweeted this last night, like, it's a ladder match, it's an ODQ match. Just pick somebody and all of you climb the ladder and grab it. Why does it matter?
Just freebird the hell out of it?
Yes. And then, the match we get to see on Tuesday night, Bryan Danielson versus Joe Samoan.
That's his birth name.
Yeah.
In Samoa, they just call him Joe.
I mean, you have to assume it's D-Bry, right?
I don't know. Do they...
It's Ford the Pop.
Yeah. Do they really want to risk him in a ladder match?
That's a really good point that I did not consider. Probably not.
I mean, the last time he was in a ladder match was when he won the Intercontinental title.
WrestleMania 31? Nope. Yep. 31.
Which he ended up having to give up like a few months later when he got all his concussions actually.
Yeah, when his brain stopped working.
So.
Yeah, so. We get to see Dane O'Brien versus Samoa Joe next week.
We do get to see that.
That's exciting. All y'all can suck it, because that's a thing we get to see in person.
2004 us is very excited.
And then there's one women's spot left, which is going to be determined by a Raw gauntlet match of all the women that didn't qualify the first time. Cool.
Which is...
Sasha, Bailey. Sarah Logan,
Mickey James,
Liv Morgan.
I
feel like I'm missing one.
Bianca Belair.
Oh God, no! The moment she gets put in that position is the moment I quit the product.
Veda Scott.
All right, let's move on. Most importantly, though. In the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Lana is the best! Lana number one! They did it.
They did it.
They freaking did it. In the best segment on SmackDown Tuesday night, let's be honest. In a minute and a half match that was perfect. With Aiden English walking around with a Lana Day sign that he just like found under the ring. It was the whole segment was so perfectly done.
It was just cartoon-like. Like, he pulled it out of his hat and just his giant sign comes out.
It was. It was comically oversized.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So Lana's going to be in a ladder match.
Lana going to die.
Let's just... I'm going to say that again one more time for those of you at home. So you can just think about it, right? Lana is in a ladder match.
Like, a year ago, we were going, do we dare put the most gifted women wrestlers that we've had, like, ever? Do we dare put them in a ladder match? And now, in 2018, the year of our Lord, Lana is in a ladder match.
Lana. Now, maybe she'll be very good. I don't want to judge. Again, who knows?
And ladder matches scare me to begin with, even with fully trained...
Maybe this is the type of match she was born for.
She is the HBK of ladder matches.
She's the, yeah, the HBK of the women's division.
Okay.
Yes. So, out of who all's qualified so far, who are Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank? Because I have not a clue, to be 100% honest. Like, I look at the men, my heart says Finn, because my heart will always say Finn.
Well, yeah.
But my brain's like, Kevin Owens. Because it's a heel gimmick, right? Babyfaces are not great carrying that contract. It makes no sense. And then I look at the women, and I can see people... Well, they said, they very specifically said Tuesday night, you have to cash it in on your brand. So.
So there's a clue.
So I could see them making a case for Natalia winning it and taking the strap off of Ronda after she beats Nia.
Right. I've kind of seen that rumor.
That's kind of, it makes sense. I feel like that's a waste of the briefcase though.
But that's a natty turn.
Yeah.
And we're due an Addy turn every 3 months or so.
Yeah, we're overdue. I mean, I think it's a waste of a briefcase just from the fact that's the angle you're going to set up with it. It's nothing against Natalia or anybody, because I love Natalia.
Yeah.
And she's highly undervalued. But I don't like trying to pull the trigger on a briefcase that fast.
Yeah, I mean, because Carmella had that thing for, what, 11 months?
Yeah. Yep, she held it longer than anyone has held any Money in the Bank briefcase ever.
So, I mean, what else is there?
So I want to see Natalia and I want to see Kevin Owens. Unless you let Bobby Roode win it and turn heel, which is even better if you give glorious heel Bobby Roode the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I'll do it for Bobby Roode if it turns him heel, because this... face thing is not working.
It's just boring. And the gimmick doesn't make sense as a baby face, right? No. Being glorious? Why would you, as a baby face, why does that help anything? Why does that make any sense?
But see, that was the thing. It's like, Bobby Roode's whole glorious thing is very Ric Flair-like, in the sense that he's got the robes, he's got, like, the ego, that type of thing. And Flair would go face every once in a while,
right.
And you'd go, okay, you know, maybe... But deep down inside, you knew he was always going to turn. You were just
always
waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
You were waiting for that tag match with Sting. It was going to happen.
And when it did, Sting's getting turned on because he's the dumbest SOB in the NWA.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but Bobby needs to make that turn because the face thing is not working for him.
No, it never does. So, I answered somebody's pin mail question that they sent early, and I forgot who it was. And I actually, like, literally don't even see it for some reason.
Does it have to do with Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone's like, early pin. Somebody asked earlier, early pin mail, who do you think's gonna. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. It might be from Wednesday, Monday. Yeah, I don't see it. So, if it's you, I really apologize. So, sorry. My bad.
So, we're getting the Ember Moon finisher off the ladder, right?
Oh, Jesus, no. God, no. I hope not.
It's going to happen. It has to happen.
It's going to... I just... Oh, God. It sounds like the worst idea of all time.
We're getting the eclipse off.
Theo, face off the ladder. It sounds terrible. I don't dig it.
They'll go for it. They will. They'll try it. It may not look good, but they'll try it.
Oh, no. Okay, it was Noah's Ark. He's confirming in Twitch chat it was him. I thought it was him, but okay. I wasn't sure. Oh, there's your answer. Thank you. Thank you for your submission. Our opinion on a Heath Slater-Brock Lesnar match. This is the part of pin mail where we go live to Twitch, folks, for those of you listening on podcast. Yeah. It would be terrible. Because it's a Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah.
Ayo!
Heath Slater would go straight to Suplex City after 27 or so suplexes. And his kids would be orphans.
True. Best of the Super Juniors has kicked off. Everybody's a few matches in. Block A right now, led by Taiji Ishimori and Tiger Mask. Block B, led by Dragon Lee and Desperado. I have not watched any of this, so I have nothing to add to this conversation, Tom.
Ishimori is new to me because he got brought in. He was the... If I'm thinking who it is who I think it is. He was brought in as the Bone Soldier.
Correct.
Yeah. So, that dude is built, man.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah, he's kind of jacked.
So, but he's been kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I'm assuming he's going to get a decent push. He's already got two wins under his belt over Bushi and Will Ospreay. So, okay,
right? Yeah,
I'll have to check out that Ishimori Ospreay match.
I heard good things. I did see good positive reaction on Twitter about it. Cool. So that's best of Super Juniors talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's still too early to even kind of make any kind of judgments about whenever they do tournaments like this in New Japan. While it's cool to see the matchups, especially some of the kind of odder, like non mainstream guys facing each other, it's kind of cool to watch, but it's more of a matter of waiting to see stuff flesh out until later on.
Right. Tom, what else do we have to talk about? I feel like we're in a quiet period of the year, right?
Yeah, and I do know that Heath Slater is a better wrestler than me, but...
Yes. we might be done for the night.